Still a real privilege to be able to be here and speak to the people about Jesus. I think this is the least congregation I ever had, and I don't ever remember having any smaller congregation other than one time in the state of Nebraska. I remember in my real early ministry, I went out to a little church that I was pastoring, and it was rainy, cold, and muddy, and I didn't have anybody but me. Now, I remember how I felt so bad when I didn't have anybody to preach to. That's the one and the only time I ever remember that God didn't give me people to preach to. And I felt so bad as I sat there in the church. But after I got to thinking it over, I felt better and I felt better and I felt better. And finally, I said, well, praise God to think that nobody didn't think enough of Jesus but me to come out on a night like this. And so it was on record that I was there when the rest of them wasn't there. So I didn't feel bad about it. But truthfully, the people here should have responded, even though our advertisement did not get out. Our TV advertisement was not put out, the radio advertisement and the newspaper advertisement. And all we finally got out was a few brochures. But there was enough contact made as to just speaking to different ones that they should have been more people out in the last two or three nights than there has been. But I felt sure that when God told me to come here, that He sent me here for judgment against this island. I never have come to Hawaii. I never have been to Hawaii. In all of my ministry, though we've traveled across the different parts of the world, I've never been here. I've never had a desire to come here. But Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when the Lord sent me here, I felt sure that He was sending me here for judgment against this people. And tonight, I'm convinced of it after three nights. I'm convinced that what He revealed to me at the first, as to my understanding, it is true. And of course, when I leave this island, I'm going to shake the dust off of my feet as a witness and a testimony against these people, that when we stand together in the day of judgment, that it will be witnessed against them, that the truth came unto them and they refused the truth, boycotted against the truth and refused to have the truth and refused to listen to the truth. But for the few people that came out in this two or three nights, I'm going to pray earnestly before God that He will protect them in whatever way that He can, should there come sorrow to the island or whatever it might be, plagues, hurricanes, problems, whatever, or if He leave it till the day of judgment and condemn these people to be turned into the lake of fire, whatever He does, I'm going to ask Him to have mercy on those few that sincerely came to listen and that wanted to hear something about Jesus. But the others we witness against tonight. And when we leave this island, we're supposed to leave around 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. And when the plane lifts, I've done it in my life, not a lot of times, but there's few places that He has sent me, and He's commanded me to do it, and we've done it. And tomorrow when the plane lifts off, we'll be shaking the dust of our feet against this island for a witness and a testimony against them in the day of judgment. To you that are here tonight, we appreciate you coming out to hear the word of the Lord. Try not to hold you long, but we do want to talk to you just a little bit. Try to share a few things with you tonight if we can. The book of St. Luke, chapter 11, said, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I want to take just a few minutes here and talk with you. See if I can get comfortable here for just a minute. Jesus tells us here in his word that we should pray a prayer. He taught his disciples to pray, and he said that we should pray this prayer. And that is that, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He taught us to pray here that when the kingdom of God come into the earth, that God's will would be done in the earth as it is in heaven. I think you're well aware of the fact that not only here in Hawaii, but around the world, that the will of God certainly is not being done in the earth. And even though the kingdom of God has come, for the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached and men pressed their way into it. And the kingdom of God was taught. For Jesus said, go preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. And since that time, men have been translated by faith into the marvelous kingdom of God. Their inner being of their spirit has been translated into the wonderful kingdom of God. And so then the kingdom of God has come since Calvary. And the Bible says that in that the kingdom of God has come, Father, thy kingdom come, now let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And though since the day of Calvary there's been hundreds of people that have testified of the glory of God, and they've traveled throughout the world, and they have told the wonderful story of Jesus, and they have asked people to conform to the way and desire of Christ, yet the millions and the billions of people that's in the world today have not heeded the Word of God as a whole. And they've not tried to change their lives, nor have they tried to conform to their life to the way of Christ, but they have gone on in their own erring way. And they have tried to come to a place to where they can take darkness and mix darkness with light, or take the things of this world that's repulsive to Christ and intermingle those things, or let those things be interwoven with a Christian or a religious life. They've tried hard. Satan has been so cunning till he has tried hard to infiltrate the minds of the religious people, to get them to believe that there is nothing wrong, that all is right, and that God is a good God, and God is a loving God, and that God doesn't care, and that God wants us to continue on in our frolics in the world, in our wayward life, and that he loves us so much that he could never hurt us nor never get upset with us. My beloved friend, according to the Bible, he tells us that people compass land and sea to make a proselyte. And then he's twofold more, the child of hell. So then it is a true fact that Satan has killed the conscience of mankind with his foolish doings. He has actually killed the conscience of man. Paul speaks of having a good conscience before God. And he said, I strive always to have a conscience void of offense toward man and God, so that faith can be in my heart, and so that I can have faith in the Word of God and have faith in my Creator. As the Bible says, to do the things that please God, hereby we persuade our heart, and then do we have confidence in God that He hears us. And if we know that God hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. And so then, Satan trying to destroy the conscience of mankind, he has succeeded in cutting humanity off from God. For without a conscience there is no salvation. When the conscience is dead and when the conscience is done away with, you are then as a zombie and you do not have any life in you anymore. But once the conscience is dead, you cannot contact the spirit of life, and you are a helpless zombie in life that's waiting for the judgments of God and to be turned into the lake of fire. It's like the vision I had not too long ago. I've told it a number of places that I've been. I had a vision, and in this vision, I saw as it was a great entombment. It was like a huge plain, and it was sealed all over. There was no openings whatsoever. And in this vision, I looked. I was walking along a sidewalk, and as I walked, I looked, and all of a sudden, from the side of this great entombment, there was a door that appeared, and the door opened. And I walked into the door, and as I walked into the door, all of a sudden the door closed. And I found myself within that entombment, and there was no way out. And I saw people on the inside. And I saw people that was going to and fro. I saw mothers, and I saw fathers. And I saw them as they went to and fro. I saw mothers with little babies in their arms. These people were completely lifeless. That is to say, they were zombies. They were just walking to and fro, looking straight ahead without any life at all other than the power just to move to and fro. And I watched them as they went to and fro, and there was multitude of people going to and fro. And I said, "My God, what is this? Oh God, what is this?" And God spoke to me and told me what was happening. Just before I went into this entombment, I had heard a great noise, and this noise sounded like a great revival and like people was praising God. And it reminded me of when Moses come down off of the mountain and heard all of the noise down in the valley and thought they were having a great revival when he found out later that they were just dancing around the golden calf. And so then I heard this great noise and I thought, "My God, what a revival. I wonder where this noise is coming from." And I began to follow. And finally I came to a great stadium. And there was a stadium, and I looked and I thought, "They're having a great revival in the stadium." So I went into the stadium, and when I got into the stadium, there was a huge crowd of people. But instead of a revival, it was a ball game. And when I got inside of the stadium, they were praising God over their ball game, and they were praying for their team to win. And I heard God speak to me, and something said, "This is an abomination in my sight." And he turned me around, and I walked down the street. And when I walked down the street, I saw this big entombment, whatever it was, appear before me, and the door opened, and I found myself inside. And when I saw these people walking lifeless, I screamed out and said, "My God, get me out of here. What is this?" And God said, "This is the people at the ball games." He said, "It's abomination in my sight for men to pray for to God in the behalf of a ball game." He said, it is awful in my sight, and said, "It is ungodly in my sight, and it is a reproach to me and to the blood of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said that he abhorred those people, and he would put those people away from him. And yet all over the world they're beginning to do it. Even the churches are going into sports, and even the churches have their own teams. And though it's abomination in the sight of God, yet they're going into it the more. And last night I spoke of the beast that come up out of the water, how that one of the main parts of the body of the beast was the sports of today. How that God revealed it to me and showed me that that was one of the main parts. The leopard part of the body of the beast was the sports that originated from the Greek people in the days gone by, that answers back to the Hellenistic religion and back to the things that Daniel spoke of concerning Alexander the Great. So then we see this thing moving in. We see people worshiping the beast. I spoke last night of people that worship the beast, people that love the body, that paint their faces, women that paint their faces, and people that expose their bodies, and people that give all of their time to putting up the body and trying to make the body famous, and looking for fame and popularity and confidence and convenience and all the things that pertain to the flesh. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of this world. He loves the things of this world, and he savors the things that be of the flesh. And he works within the body. And Paul speaks of the body. He says, as the body, within my body there is no good thing. And when he speaks of the body, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? God, sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful body, took the body, the sinful body, he abhorred it, he hung it to the tree, and he smote the Son of God to keep from smiting you and I as individuals, to give us mercy and to give us grace. And he smote the Lord Jesus and gave his own Son, saying that we esteem Christ Jesus smitten of God. He was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was laid upon his back. And so then we see Christ telling us to pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Though there's hundreds of people that have been across this world, and the Bible said their sounds has gone to the ends of the earth, and the Bible said in the gospel it's gone to every creature. And even though it has happened, it says, who hath believed our report? For who is it that believes what the preacher says? Or who is it that believes the report of the ministry? The ministry is no more today than anything else, watching a movie or whatever. It's here for a moment, it's in our minds, and then it's gone. And we pay no more attention to it than we do the president. A lot of times we pay more attention to the president and to the political leaders than we do to the man of God. And yet the man of God holds our destiny, our future, our soul within his hands. And yet we place very little emphasis on the Bible, and by improper evaluation we look to the natural things and place the greater value on the things of less value, or the greater, count them as the greater of the importance, and look at the other things as being of less value in that our evaluation is so improper. So we find ourselves going down the stream of time, falling into the lake of fire. I remember another vision that I saw, and I saw hundreds and thousands, as it would be, of young people, and they were just streaming along. And then I saw a place that went down like this, and I saw these people, and I said, God, what is this? And he said, told me, all that forget God shall be turned into hell. Every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And he said, these are the young people of your day. This is the young generation, a sinful and an adulterous generation. He says that don't want God in their lives, that don't want the understanding of God. He said, and these that you see going down here are going into hell. And so it is, folks, all over the world. Hundreds and thousands and millions of people are going into hell. The Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. You know, we don't like to talk about hell, and we don't like to talk about going into the lake of fire, and we don't like to talk about the judgments of God. And we say, teach us smooth things. The Bible said, and they'll say, tell us things that tickles our ears. Tell us smooth things and prophesy smooth things to us. But nevertheless, the Bible said, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. This island shall be turned into hell. I'm persuaded that this island shall be turned into hell. These people that frolic in this island, that come from all over the world, meet here to frolic and to show off the fair flesh and to worship the beast and to do the will of Lucifer, in that he's the prince of this world and that he loves the things of this world. That people that come here shall be turned into the lake of fire, because they've forgotten God and they've left God out. And even the religious movements, most of them that I've met around here, are playing some kind of religious game. They don't teach any conformity as to dressing properly, as to looking properly, as to being like Christ, or to conforming to the ways of God and getting sin out of their life. And it's some kind of a religious formality or some kind of religious game. And they too shall be turned into hell. For the Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And when the Bible speaks of the ditch, it calls the world the great whore. The great whore, the one that has turned to be the great whore, that's rejected the name of Jesus and rejected the laws and of righteousness and the things of God. And the Bible said, and they shall be turned into hell, all nations that forget God. So then it is a true fact tonight that we should be praying, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we should be praying, oh God, tell me the truth. And oh God, place the right kind of spirit within me. And oh God, teach me thy word and teach me thy way, oh God, that I may have faith in thy word, that I may be able to escape the flames of fire. In Revelation, in the sixth chapter, the Bible said, when the sixth seal is open, that the heavens rolled back as a scroll, and the Bible said, and the stars fell from heaven as the fig tree that shaketh her untimely figs. And the Bible said, the rich man, the small man, all men together, all people together, begin to run to the rocks and the mountains and cry for the rocks and mountains to fall upon him and hide him from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. For they said, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And so then we're living in that moment, and we're living in that hour when the wrath of God is fixing to come into the world. When God has looked down upon a generation that's been preached to, a generation that's been told, a generation that's been taught, looking down upon a sinful and an adulterous generation. This is a generation that marries one time and two times and 10 times. This is a generation that strips away their clothes and walks around nude, man and woman alike, lusting after one another. When the Bible is emphatically stated to look on a woman and to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. This is the adulterous generation that Jesus spoke of, and the one that he said he would burn with fire and with brimstone because they refused to listen to the word of God. And the Bible said they do not like to retain the truth in their knowledge. And he said, because you have not a love for the truth, I'll turn you over to reprobate mind. I'll send you strong delusions, and I'll cause you to believe a lie and let you be damned, Jesus said. Because you didn't want to have the truth, you didn't love the truth, you didn't want the truth, because the truth interferes with your wicked way of life. And the Bible said this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And God said to Paul, turn my people from that intellectual darkness, Paul, and turn them to the light of the mind of Christ. But they don't want the light because their deeds are wicked and their deeds are evil. They'd rather go in their intellectual darkness and in their human reasoning and worship the beast part, loving the creature, the Bible said, more than the Creator. And rather than loving God, and rather than trying to conform to God, rather than realizing that God is a spirit and that we've got to worship God in spirit, and realizing that God is the spirit of truth and we've got to worship God in truth, rather than realizing that, they'd rather go in their own intellectual reasoning and do their own thing out in the world, and they don't want you to tell them any different. If you preach anything to them that agrees with what they want to do, they'll say, amen, praise God, he's son of God. But if you tell them the truth and it cuts across their way of life and the things that they want to do, they say, away with that, we don't want that. Because they'll have no part of that, because it tells them that they've got to live right. They've got to deny self. They've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That Satan is the prince of this world, and all of the flesh of this world is corrupt. The Bible said all flesh is corrupted its way before God, and there's none good, no, not one. All of them have turned astray, and every man has turned to his own way. God has laid upon him, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Well, beloved friend, let me tell you something. When we call upon the name of the Lord, though Christ will save us. He doesn't require anything. He doesn't require any works. He just saves us because we call on him. But after we call on him and he saves us, he expects us to come out from among them and be a separate people. He said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things and I will receive you, saith the Lord. He expects us to get out of the world, get out of the things of the world, get away from the things of the world, and lean not to our own understanding and our own desire, but to turn to Christ with all our heart and to love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And to come out from that way of life and to study the Word of God and to grow in the grace of God and grow in the knowledge of God. He doesn't require anything when he comes to us. He doesn't ask us to have any righteousness. He doesn't ask us to have any works. He just says, my grace is sufficient. But when we call upon the name of the Lord and he sends his spirit into our heart, from the day that we are born again of the Spirit of God, he expects that little Christian babe on the inside to begin to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to do the things that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ, and to look like the Lord Jesus Christ, and to talk like the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, let your conversation be holy. Let your conversation be in heaven. The Bible teaches us to lay aside the moth-eaten garments of unrighteousness and put on our beautiful garments as those that love God and walk in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. What difference does it make if the world mocks us? What difference does it make if the world doesn't agree with us? What do we care? We're sons and daughters of God. Why should we let the beast of this world magnify themselves and get up here over us? We're the ones that own the world and everything therein. The Bible said the world is yours and all that is in the world is yours. And everything that's in the universe is yours. And all that God has is yours. You belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. And these people are squatters out here on our properties. These people are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. And on the inside, they've got the spirit of Satan on the inside. And they rise up and they woof at us and they magnify themselves against us so as to keep us from having our rightful inheritance when they're nothing but beasts. And one day God will completely wipe them away and put the righteous in this world that they might enjoy it throughout eternity. One day God will run an abstract on this thing and everything that's unlike Jesus will be taken away. And the sons and daughters of God will rise up and take their place in the kingdom of God and possess it forever and ever. So then they that love the world will pass away with the world. The Bible said, if the love of the world be within you, then the love of the Father is not there. To have the love of the world within you means you cannot possibly have the love of God on the inside. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I love the world, but I love Jesus. You cannot possibly love the world and love Jesus. That's not possible. You either have the love of the world or you have the love of God. And the Bible teaches that bitter water and sweet water cannot come forth from the same fountain. You are either a place of as a well of water for God or a spring of water for God, or either you are a bitter well of death. And they that drink from your well will perish and die. But out of the innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, out of them that love Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, the deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God, within this well of water is eternal life. And they that drink of this well of water that springs forth from the Christian shall never die, neither shall they thirst again. When Jesus met the woman at the well, there as he talked to the woman at the well, the woman offered him water. And Jesus said, I've got water to give you to drink that you know not of. I have living water. Had you asked of me, I would have given you this living water. You would never have to come here to draw again. And she said, Lord, give unto me the living water. And Jesus said, go call your husband. And then when she had to confess that she had been in adultery, she was all tore up. Her faith began to waver. She began to doubt as to whether God would even consider her or not. For she said, I have no husband. He said, that's true. And he said, you've had numbers of husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. It's sad to say that in the world today that men and women are living together like a bunch of beasts. They're not man and wife. They go with many women, that is, men do. And women go with many men like dogs. They follow after each other. They live together and they lay together like animals and like beasts, showing that they have no sonship or royal blood within them because of their evil doings. And they love the darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I remember being in the country of Sweden and I met a man on the street. And there to talk with him, he was a communist man, a young communist person. And there to talk to him, he made his confession. He said, well, son, I'm living with a woman. I said, well, are you married? He said, no. I said, well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said, being made in the image of God, being a human being or whatever, and living like dogs and whatever. I said, you need to get married. You need to get straightened out. You need to be the right kind of person. And though he was communist, he acknowledged that what I told him was the truth. And that he realized the wrong. See, that makes me to know something, folks, that these people that do those things I hear, they're not ignorant of that. They're not ignorant of those things. They know that they're doing wrong, but they love the darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They know that that isn't right. But why don't we pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Why don't we pray that God will cause his spirit to move across the land and pray that God will give us the right kind of life? Why don't we get out and pass out literature and testify and have the backbone to tell the people of their adulterous evil ways? Why don't we go to them and tell them and say, folks, this is wrong? See, people won't do it because their deeds are evil. They love that kind of way. They want that kind of way. They're not going to do that. What they're going to do is come against you because you come against that. But in the day of judgment, just as I will shake my feet, dust off against these people here, God is doing that all over the world. He sent me in numbers of places. I've done it. He sent other ministers in numbers of places. They've done it. And God is shaking the dust of the feet off of the witness and a testimony against people like this in the day of judgment. And they're going to stand there having exposed their nude bodies. And instead of giving their bodies to God as the temples of the Holy Spirit, as being holy and godly and being holy in body as well as spirit, instead of giving their bodies to be a blessing to Christ in His kingdom and to be an example of Christ, they go out as a prostitute in the world and they strip off. Sad to say, but even from the apartment where we're at, I happened to look out today. I passed by a swimming pool there and I just happened to glance. And somebody said, that woman has the top part of her bathing suit off. She was already naked with the bathing suit on. When you get a bathing suit on, you're naked. So I guess the devil figures it doesn't make that much difference. And the woman just took the top part off. See, what's the difference? Take the top part off, take the bottom part off. They're naked anyway. But let me tell you something, folks. God will burn a woman like that in hell and a man like that in hell. God will burn this sinful, adulterous generation in hell because of what they're doing. You're not supposed to do those things. And the Bible doesn't tell you to do those things. It tells you not to do those things. But it's become a way of life. It's become an entire generation. The entire generation has become sinful and it's become a way of life. And they don't want you to speak against it and they don't want you to tell them anything against it. They don't want to hear anything about it because their deeds are evil. They love darkness rather than light. They want you to leave them alone. They'll say, I don't want to hear that. See, and God is going to leave them alone. They're on the verge of God leaving them alone. We're already coming into that place to where Antichrist is getting ready to come into power. And the mark of the beast is getting ready to come into power. And the great tribulation is getting ready to come into power. And the Bible said God is going to turn the locusts loose from out of the bottomless pit on these people to torment these people. And that God isn't even going to let death stay around to where they can have relief. And the people that have done these evil things, they won't even be able to die and get out of their misery. The Bible said that they will long for death and they'll look for death and they'll even beg for death. But death will be lifted to where they cannot even die out of their pains and out of their misery. And the Bible said they'll literally gnaw their tongues because of the pain. Folks, it's because of sin. It's because of evil. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, everybody does it. No, everybody don't do it because Brother Pike doesn't do it. And I know some other people around the world that doesn't do it. Everybody doesn't do it. But everybody that wants to do it does it. Everybody that loves darkness rather than light, they do it. But not everybody does it because there are some sons and daughters in this world and there are some godly people in this world and there are some people that's willing to have backbone enough to stand up for the right thing whether others stand up for it or not. It wouldn't matter to me if there was 10,000 people and I was one person in the midst of them. I'd still stand for the light of God and the right of God and the things that make for eternal life. And if the 10,000 wanted to go to hell, then I'd let them go to hell. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, God took just a very few out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then those that He took out, there still wasn't anybody but Lot and his two daughters left when He finally got through. And I've been over into the Holy Land, and I've seen the place where the fire and brimstone came down, or been in the areas of it. And God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't you know the God that burned those people with fire and brimstone? Don't you know that He can't continue to let people continue to do the way they're doing? There's no possible way God could do it. God would be an unjust God. It wouldn't be worth my time or your time to even serve Him or to call on Him. If God would burn those people with no more knowledge than they had of right and wrong and then let the people of today get by with what they're doing, you couldn't trust in a God like that. Brethren, let me tell you something. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He wants His will done on this earth just like His will is done in heaven. He wants His will done among people just like it's done among angels. And the Bible said, seeing that the angels who are greater in power and might, if they received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? Knowing that God has done the angels the way He has, bound them in chains of darkness against that great day, then don't you know that Brother Pike can't get by with sin? And don't you know that you can't get by with sin? And don't you know that these others that hear me tonight, wherever it might be, by radio or whatever, don't you know they can't get by with their sins? And don't you know this island of Hiawatha cannot get by with their sins in the way that they're doing? Though people come from all over the world, do you think God is going to let them by? If in the days of Noah God destroyed the entire world and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if He destroyed the entire world and spared only Noah, a righteous man with his family, don't you know today He'll destroy this world the same way today? That's why the Bible said, "Fear not, little flock, it is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom." And the Bible said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. For once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, you may knock outside the door." But the Bible said He will not open the door to let you in. So then we're here tonight to tell you about Jesus. We're here in this island because God sent us. I've made it a practice in my life since I've been following Christ not to go where I want to go, not to do what I want to do. But when God tells me to go somewhere, no matter where it is in the world, I always go. And I go there by the leadership of God. And I came here because God sent me into the island. And I confess that this is a beautiful island. The handiwork of God is everywhere. It is so beautiful. The flowers, the trees, the ocean, everything is so lovely. And the people, if they would dress properly, would be so lovely. But seeing the things that I see in corruption, and seeing the evils that I see, and the whole town given over to adultery and idolatry, and seeing the corruption along the streets, and everything that I look at, I am vexed as it was with Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah. I am literally vexed. The whole time I've been here, I told my wife, I said, "I'm vexed." I said, "Betty, though this place be lovely," I said, "I wouldn't stay here 2 hours." I said, "if it wasn't for having to preach the gospel and tell the people about Jesus and having a love for them that might want to hear the gospel and might would like to learn about Jesus." Whereas, as Paul said when he preached, he said, "Having counted yourselves unworthy of eternal life," he shook the dust off of his feet and said, "I go to another people." And so he went his way. Beloved friend, tonight, let me tell you, I trust that God will help everyone that has come out to this meeting, everyone that's offered any prayer or any support to this meeting that couldn't come out to the meeting. I pray that God will bless every one of them, and He will bless every one of them. And I'm asking God to keep them safe. But against the rest of this island, the people of this island that's rejected God and the things of God, I shake the very dust of my feet off as a witness and a testimony against them in the day of judgment. This is a corrupt place, a very corrupt place, and it is a place that God will utterly consume with His fire of indignation and will burn in the day of judgment because of their evil doings. Tonight, standing here with you and witnessing the last night of this revival, knowing that we'll leave early tomorrow if everything is well, I beseech those that have come out and you that are out or whoever might be connected with this meeting that they turn their hearts to God and that they call on the name of the Lord and that it be spread around that some people begin to beg and plead so that God will keep His wrath from off of this island, because this island is going to be visited with the wrath of God, and I mean in a mighty way. Because it is a corrupt place. It is very corrupt. Corrupt even to the core. And the wrath of God is kindled against it because of their evil doings. And people from all over the world have helped to cause this island to be corrupt. The local people here in this place should rise up. They should rise up by faith in God, because there's some good local folks. And they should rise up and they should kindle the fires of God in this island and tell the tourists and the others to stay out of here if they can't come in here like decent people, and they need to lift up some standards of decency and some standards of godliness and some standards of righteousness and holiness so that God will spare their little homes and spare their way of life. I love you, and I speak as one that loves you, but I speak as one that comes from God to tell you you're wrong and to tell you your error. And most assuredly, friend, there's going to be the wrath of God kindled against this island. So far as I know, we may stop over in Honolulu tomorrow, maybe for a day or 2 days to minister to some people that have asked us to come into that area. We've also been on the radio there in time past. Here I've never been on the radio in this area other than on our world radios that reach into this island. We've been on some world radio stations that reach into this island. We're on some right now that comes into this island. But there's one thing for sure, that as the gospel rings out around the world, then judgment comes. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. If you do not know, then it is not required of you. But everything that you know, God requires it of you. And he requires that we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, being ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. I'm going to say this again in close. God requires nothing when you come to him. He saves you strictly by the grace of God, and that is faith in his name as you call upon his name. For the Bible said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But beloved friend, once you are born again and you receive the Spirit of God, God expects you to grow into the full stature of the full measure of Christ Jesus. And he expects you to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to make no preparations for the flesh, to fulfill the lust and the desire thereof. And God expects you to conform to his ways and to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, having faith in that increase of knowledge and conforming to that way of life, that you may be spared in the day of judgment and escape the damnation of hell. Jesus said one time, speaking to some people, he said, seeing that you have seen the judgment upon those that do wickedly and do evil. He said, knowing the judgments of God upon these people and things, having seen this, he said, you go and do the same thing. How then, he said, can you escape the damnation of hell? So then tonight, let's not do the wrong thing. Knowing the judgment of God upon all of them that do wickedly, and the Bible said, they that obey not the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be turned into hell. All nations forgetting God shall be turned into hell. Knowing this and knowing the judgments of God upon them that have rejected the word of the Lord, let us change our way of life and let us conform to the way of God. And let us remember that this meeting here, though there's been very few attendance in this meeting, that this three-day meeting is a witness in the day of the judgment against the religious people here in this island for not teaching their people, against the pastors and the preachers who have not taught their people, the shepherds that have not taught their people the true ways of God. The Bible said if they had stood in my counsel, if they had stood before me, they would have caused my people to turn from their wicked ways. But in that they've not turned the people from their wicked ways, it's a positive thing that they've not stood in the counsel of God. So tonight, beloved friend, I want you to stand with me. I'd like for Brother Taylor to come back to the organ. Let's just stand together tonight. I want to say again that we appreciate you coming out. Let us pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Whatever we can do as to the will of God, let's do it. And let's remember that the word of God is the will of God. For Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. So then let's do the will of God, and let's remember this is the will of God, and let's conform to the will and way of God. Let's tell people about the Lord Jesus. You say, but Brother Pike, we're so few. I know Gideon had but a few, but he overthrew the powers of the enemy and he won the battle for Christ. God sent them back. Though there was many of them that gathered together, God sent many of them back. He said, because if I do it by the hands of many, then God will not get the glory, because it shall be said that it is a thing of man. But if I do it by a few people, then when I conquer, God shall receive the glory, for they shall say that God did this thing. When Jonathan went out and won the battle, when David went out and won the battle, when the others went out and won the battle, as they say, the battle is not to the strong, the race is not to the swift, but it belongs to the Lord. And that God doesn't care whether he saves by one or by many. because it is God that wins the battle. Let us go out with that kind of faith and courage and conviction. And let us go out even as Jesus Christ is one man. And let's stand for the Word of God and let's talk diligently to one and convert that one. And then let that one and take and talk to another one and convert that one and convert them to real Christianity until there is people in this island that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and that will stand for the truth and stand for the wicked false teachers and those that are only interested in fame and popularity and money that's gathering the people together to see how much money they can get out of them or having their mind on their human person as to some fame and popularity as to drawing a crowd so as to worship the beast, loving the creature more than the creator. Let's love Christ and worship Christ and serve God as the inner man, turning to the Spirit. For Jesus said to the woman, God is a spirit. The time is coming and now is when they that love the Lord shall worship Him in spirit and in truth, and they'll get the living water from the wells of salvation. Remember, God is a spirit, and the Bible said He is the Spirit of holiness, and Paul said, I serve Him with my spirit. Remember, God is a spirit. Think this over, beloved friend. Ever since Adam fell from the garden, God has been driven out of the life of His own creature. And though God made these palm trees and this beautiful beach, that He Himself might enjoy it by living in a human body, though the Spirit of Life created it that it might enjoy the refreshing of it through a human body, yet Lucifer, from the fall in the garden, took it away from Adam. And though Adam was the prince of the world, Lucifer became the prince of the world through the fallen ones. And the Bible said in Adam, all die. And God, the eternal Spirit, has worked hard, long and patient, feeling the infirmities of mankind, trying to get death out of their blood veins and get the evil spirit of death out of their heart, so that He, as the Spirit of life and peace and joy, could replace the spirit of misery and fear and heartaches and poverty. Christ trying to come into the human body before it's defiled by Lucifer so that He will have to destroy it. Trying to come in before you get a knowledge that is so great of right and wrong and then violate the principles of God, causing Him to have to destroy you. Trying to get in and turn you to His way of life when you come to the knowledge of right and wrong. Knowing that when you come to the knowledge of the truth, that there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. If you don't serve God when you come to the knowledge of the truth, then you sin against God. To know to do good and do it not is a sin. And when you come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you don't perform those things, you sin against God and you defile the temple because of your willful transgression, and God has to destroy it because there's no blood atonement for it. But before you can willfully sin against God, God brings you to the knowledge of God, offers you the strength of God, and offers you the Spirit of God so that you will fill your heart with His Spirit and not willfully transgress. And should you err and should you stumble when you're trying to do your best, then His blood atones for you and His love holds you up and His Spirit brings you to perfectness in Christ's sight. To be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Whereas the Bible said, let us go on unto perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance of dead works and of faith toward God. But let us go on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. God wanting to enjoy life through His human body. Trying to get back into His human body, for He is touched by the feeling of your infirmities. He says for you to rejoice forevermore because He is a God of joy and peace. And He loves to feel the joy and splendor of living. And that in abundance is to filled up and overflowing. And that on eternal basis. God wants you to have the fullness of life. He wants you to have the blessings of life. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The Bible teaches that God will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness, make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The Bible said He will give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in Him. And you'll be like a tree that's planted by the water, bringing forth your fruit in your season, your leaves will not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. The Bible said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth. So then God wants you to be blessed. He offers you a threefold blessing. a blessing in the natural as to houses and lands and fruit and trees, of the sun, the moon, the stars, of the ocean, and all of those things that pertain to the natural. He offers you a blessing in the physical as to health, a body of health, a physical being that's overflowing with health and radiance of life, that you might enjoy those natural blessings. And then he offers you the spiritual consolation of joy, peace, and abundance of praise, happiness to rejoice forevermore as a spiritual security on eternal basis, that you might be eternal and have eternal life. The threefold blessing of God. My beloved friend, when we reject God as to knowing the truth and refuse to let God live in our heart, live in our lives, when we refuse to accept the Holy Spirit into our heart, that our body conformity may as be to the desire of His own image, then we lose all of the blessings of God, and the wrath of God abideth upon us because we've not believed in the name of the Lord Jesus and the report of His own Son. So tonight, let me invite you to serve God and to call upon the name of the Lord and let His Spirit come into your heart. If we reach one soul in this island, it will be worth all of our efforts. The Bible teaches that if one soul comes to repentance, that the angels in heaven have a jubilee. Rather than 99 just persons that need no repentance, over one person that needs repentance and comes to repentance, there is a jubilee in heaven among the angels. So to reach one soul would be worth all that we could do in this island. Having come here to do our little bit, we're asking of you tonight to consider these things as you go your way. And just before we leave tonight, I want to offer you an opportunity to step up here to the altar and let me pray over you. We're just going to be here a few minutes, but come and let us pray over you. The Bible said, whoever we bless will be blessed. Whoever we curse will be cursed. Whosoever sins we remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins we retain shall be retained. For Jesus said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. For whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. And whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So tonight, while he's playing on the organ, I wonder if you'd step out. Step out this last night, step up here at the altar. Let us pray with you and ask God to bless you and keep you from the wrath of God. Whether you abide in this island, whether you're visitors, or whether you're going to another place, whether you're going to be here a lifetime, whatever, then let us pray with you tonight that God will bless you, that God will bless your little children and your wife, husband, that God will bless your loved ones, and that you can find the peace of God in your heart and in your life. While we tarry for just a moment, we invite you to come up. If you do not desire to come up to the altar tonight, then let's just slip our hands up together tonight, close our eyes. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. When men lift up their hands, it reminds God of Calvary and the death of His lovely Son, Jesus. And His hands having been lifted up in our behalf, we lift our hands up in His behalf tonight. Holy hands that's made holy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessings of the Lord may be upon us tonight and upon the people. And let's pray tonight that if there be anybody in this island, any people in this island that love Jesus, and I'm sure there must be, that God will have mercy upon those people as the wrath of God begins to strike, and that God will look down upon those people and take care of those people so that those people will not taste the bitterness of the hatred of God against the evil way of man. Father God of heaven, we pray tonight in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God, by His wonderful blood we're saved tonight. And by the name of Jesus, we receive salvation, my Father. And we call upon the name of Jesus in the behalf of the people of this island. Everyone that there is a hope for, everyone that's truthfully serving Thee, everyone that's making an effort to conform to Thy way, I ask You to protect them even as You did the ones in Sodom and Gomorrah. And oh God, as the great wrath of God comes down upon this people and upon this island, May you protect those that I'm speaking of tonight. Grant it, Father, in the name of your holy child, Jesus. Be with us and keep us safe, Father. Bless these people that have listened, these people that are concerned, these people that have come out during the meeting that wants to know more about Jesus. I ask you to bless them tonight. Father, forgive them their sins, heal their sick bodies, and do something in a special way for them. I ask it in the name of Jesus and for your glory, my Father. Let's sing this little chorus together tonight before we close. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest still is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing with me like this now. For we have anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing that one more time? For we have anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Bow your heads with me now, if you will. Very reverently bow your heads. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to pray a closing prayer. May God bless you, those that have been concerned and those that have come here to hear the word of the Lord. May God richly bless you, and I know that He will. And God will strengthen you and help you and forgive you of your sins. Brother Taylor, will you pray?